Hey, Roberto, how's it going?
Good. How's it going with you, Puya?
It's going fantastic. So I'm
Oh,
assuming
that's
you guys
great.
are over in California.
Yeah, actually, I'm in Mexico right now.
Oh, you're in Mexico. I'm sure the weather there is beautiful as well.
Oh, it's amazing today. We have beautiful blue skies. It's kind of like LA weather, except a little colder. But yeah, it's really nice.
Wonderful. Are you down there working on a project, or you can't tell me? That's okay too. I understand.
Yeah, no, I can't really tell you. I'm helping out a friend of mine down here that's doing a project, so that's why I have to keep it a little secret. But yeah, no, I'm doing that, and I'm also helping out with the Red Cross here.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they do this awesome volunteer program in their ambulances where they just need manpower and they need people to help, basically do the whole pre-hospital journey. In ambulances, everything from just holding a fracture to holding a gauze on someone's head that's bleeding and things like that. So it's really cool. It's really, really fun down here.
Wow, are you certified to do they certify you to do that kind of stuff, or is it?
Yeah, they put you basically through a training program to be able to deal with a certain number of things. So I wouldn't be able to put an IV in someone or
Right.
suddenly like that. Oh, what's that awesome scene in what is it, the George Clooney movie Three Kings, where he has to do a pneumothorax kind of injection with a pen,
Oh, yeah.
and that awesome moment. But yeah, no, you don't do things like that. But being able to hold someone's neck steady, or they teach you how to get the gurney in and out of the ambulance, so things like that that would just take them time, and anyone can do. They train you to do.
That's really cool, man. That's neat to hear. You don't hear about that kind of stuff that often.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's especially in Mexico where
Yeah, absolutely.
such an abysmal difference between what U.S. EMTs are able to use and just being in an ambulance. I mean, in Mexico, cars don't move for ambulances.
Right.
An ambulance stuck in traffic, and you're like, that's a joke. Come on, just move out of the way. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've only been to Mexico a few times. Very, very fun place, though. Lots of vibrant culture and whatnot, so.
Yeah, have you been to Mexico City, or was it a Cancun spring break
Me
kind of
yeah, it was
thing?
Mexico City. Yeah, no, I've never gone to the spring break resort areas. Only I guess they could be considered touristy there, of course, but
Yeah.
not the
Well, no,
typical
that's
spring
great that
break
you've
area.
been to Mexico City. It's an awesome trip. I think it's a beautiful city. The museums here are phenomenal.
Absolutely. Well, I know you're busy, Roberto, so let's go ahead and I want to talk to you about your upcoming film, Boulevard.
Yeah, no, let's do it. By the way, just a quick question. Do you write your biography in on your website?
I did.
That is so cool. From the first sentence, the wee lad dumb, I was like, oh, this is awesome writing.
Oh, I
But
really appreciate that.
that was really cool.
I'm a goofball and when it comes to that. But, Ryan and I, who are the two, I guess, main guys behind the site, we love movies and we've loved it so much and we figured, hey, why not put our effort towards like sculpting that hobby, which I'm sure it's a decision you made at some point in your life to segue fully into acting and yeah, it's definitely been an amazing experience. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
So cool. No, of course. I love seeing personality come through writing. A lot of times it's just very dry, and when I read that, I was it was so cool.
Well, I hope I could do this interview justice.
All right, let's see. I'll let you know at the end. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
absolutely. I'm always open to critique.
No, no way. Go ahead, go ahead.
Boulevard it's a really interesting movie. I've read up on it a good bit, and it deals with love and homosexuality in a very unique way that I haven't really heard of before in other films. So, in your own words, how would you describe the film?
I think the film is about like many films, human connection. It's about two people that are stuck in life and have, I guess, the good fortune of meeting and helping each other out of this rut. And they're two people that are innately broken. One because he's not accepting who he is, and the other because he's just been dealt a horrible hand in life. them in this limping kind of manner, help each other move forward and gain a momentum that I think they'd lost. They either lost or they'd never had. And so I think that categorizing the movie as, you know, this story about people connecting and willingly or unwillingly or consciously or unconsciously giving each other a hand is the basis of what the film is. And then from there it just becomes, you know, how does his life end up for better or for worse? How does his relationship, his marriage end up for better or for worse? What happens when he decides to make this change? And by he, I mean Nolan, the Robin's character.
Right.
When he decides to change his life at 55 years old, you know, when he's already established such a foundation and such a already, I want to say monotonous life, but in his point of view, I don't think it's monotony per se. It's just comfort. It's
right.
A comfortable life that he's built for himself. So what happens when he decides to change that? I think that's the basis of what the film's about.
Okay. Well, before Boulevard, I know you did a film which was like Struck by Lightning with Chris Colfer and Rebel Wilson, I believe. And that's more of a comedic, lighthearted kind of role. How difficult is it to transition to somebody like Leo, to somebody that has more of a nuanced and dramatic and kind of a underlying agony to his character?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely more painful.
Yeah.
Getting to play the Latin foreign exchange student that hooks up with everyone is a lot more fun. But yeah, Leo was a tough role to get into because, one, he's so opposite to who I am in almost every aspect of his life. So that was tough, trying to find, you know, the similarities and also trying to understand why he's in this position. I think it's very tough when you see someone who's given up on life, you know, who's accepted that they're in a shitty place and that's where they're going to live. And for
right.
me, that I connect much more to the fighting spirit, you know, never give up, always push forward. There's always something you can do, and Leo can't. So it was really tough for me to understand why. Why can't he? What's preventing him from just either leaving where he is or making a change? And finding that, I think, was the crucial element for me to really understand Leo, and eventually I did. And I think, for me, what happened is, I think Leo's really intelligent. I think he's really an observer of life. He kind of sits back and just watches. But he got stuck. He got stuck in this place where he didn't know what the next step was. So
right.
instead of moving forward, he just stood still, almost paralyzed. And I think that's when Nolan comes in and gives him this push. It's awesome. So getting to understand his world, where he was stuck in, you know, this world of hustlers is a really dark and gritty and dangerous place to live in, and especially for someone like Leo, because I don't think that Leo had ever really been exposed to that. So it just hardens your outside. And getting to understand that and jump into the role, and, you know, with Dio, the director, we talked a lot about who Leo was and who I wasn't. And I think, you know, losing 35 pounds for the role,
right?
Being in the streets, we filmed in Nashville, and so I'd go out at night and just be in the streets and watch cars and experience what it's like to, you know, almost be nocturnal, and all that wasn't easy, but I think really necessary to show him in his most truthful representation.
Okay, well, you mentioned Nolan. You had the privilege of working with the late, great Robin Williams on one of his last films. What was it like working with him?
It was mind-blowing. It was everything that you could possibly imagine meeting Robin Williams and getting to work with him to be. It was that and much, much more. He was a really, really generous actor. There were times where you know, we were both tired. We've been filming for 12 hours, and he never gave less than everything that he had in every take. And then as a person, he was just the kindest man. He talked to everyone. He knew everyone's names. There wasn't one person that he wouldn't spend time with. If there was a fan on the side of the set, he'd walk up to them, he'd take pictures with them, he'd talk to them, and he was always just the center of this whirlpool, and it was indescribable to be near him.
That's got to be the coolest. I'm a huge Robin Williams fan, so that's a huge, to me, for an actor to have worked with Robin Williams, that's a huge accolade for you to have on your resume.
Yeah, no, it's huge. And for me, actually, he's the reason that I went into acting.
Wow.
I saw Good Will Hunting, and I saw it right after I think I saw Mrs. Doubtfire first. I can't remember what order I saw them, but those two movies, Mrs. Doubtfire and Good Will Hunting, suddenly came side to side for me. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to be able to make people laugh and make people cry. I want to be able to, you know, transition between both so seamlessly and so effortlessly and embody whoever I choose to be in the same way that this amazing actor that I see on screen can. So he launched me into this whole thing. So to be able to come full circle and then be next to him in a scene, I remember the very first scene we did together, I was standing there and he was standing in front of me, and it's that moment of pinch yourself because this isn't happening. It can't be that I'm standing opposite Robin Williams. I'll never forget that moment.
Nice. Well, I know you'll cherish that.
Yeah.
In addition to Robin Williams, you worked with a lot of other accomplished actors on this project, Kathy Baker and Bob Odenkirk, to name a couple. Was that an intimidating experience, or was it more like, are they actors that amplify your ability? Kind of like they help radiate creativity and that kind of thing.
Definitely. I think that's you hit the nail on the head. I think working with actors that that are so experienced and so good at what they do elevates you. Just being near them elevates you and elevates your craft. And you're able to do things that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do just because you have the confidence that you're working with someone who's that good. And so it's funny because Kathy and I actually don't have any scenes together in the movie. So
right.
We saw each other in the screening afterwards. And a couple interviews, we talked about it. We said, you know, it's so weird. It's almost like we did two different movies. And it really was like two different movies. You know, Nolan has his world with Joy and Nolan has his world with Leo. And
right.
These two sides can never touch. So I got to see her work, which was amazing. And she has a couple moments in the film that are just, oh my God, you watch them and it shows you what acting should be like. And then with Bob, it was great because Bob, he's so much fun to be around. And then when he gets in his scenes, we have one scene together where we kind of meet for the first time. And there's this great moment of, oh, so you're Leo. And I'm like, oh, so you're you. And it's this moment of characters that are from completely different walks of life meeting. And Bob and I, we had so much fun with it. So, yeah, no, it elevates you in a huge way. And for me as a young actor, to get to work with that caliber of people is God, amazing.
So Bob being such a comic, and when I say Bob, I say being Bob Odenkirk, he's like known to be kind of, you know, jokey and stuff. Did he do anything amazing or hilarious on set that, you know, set everybody off, or was he a practical joker, or was he actually tame respective to his on-screen persona?
No, he was a joker. I mean, I think because of the subject matter of the movie and the tone of the movie, nobody went full out and did any pranks that, you know, that would have driven all of us mad because we were all a little bit crazy. There were so many night shoots and everything, but
right.
The great thing is, you know, you have someone like Bob who's such a comedian and he's always talking to people and making them laugh. And then you have someone like Robin who's always talking to people and making them laugh. So kind of in juxtaposition with this movie that we were making that deals with such a sad and painful subject, you had these amazing comedians and actors and human beings making everybody laugh and lightening the mood. So it was great. It was exactly what we needed, and they do it so easily. I mean, it's not even hard for them to make people laugh. It's so cool.
Right. So you've mentioned Robin Williams being one of your motivations for getting into acting. What were maybe another one of your favorite actors and how they may have influenced you becoming who you are becoming?
I think for me, probably watching Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, wow. Great actor.
Huge motivation. I mean, just to jump straight to the top, right?
Right.
It's just, He takes acting to the nth degree, and not just because he has this process of inhabiting these characters so fully, but also because he's just so committed. And I think it's great to see another actor do that. I think you can see it with different careers. You know, oh, that person's so committed to photography that they spent a year in Antarctica alone, or that person is such a committed, I don't know, scientist that their exploration of the human genome, just to, you know, say something random, has been their life's work. And with acting, to see someone who you can say that person is so committed that it takes them a year to get out of these characters, or, you know, they're able to contort their body so fully like he does in My Left Foot, and spend his time like that. That level of commitment is inspirational for, I think, any young actor. He was definitely a huge one. And to be able
Is there a particular movie that stands out as your favorite movie by Daniel Day-Lewis?
There's so many of his that are mind blowing, but personally, and I'm gonna be a little bit of a nerd here, I love Gangs of New York.
That's a great. I was gonna say two of my favorite are Gangs of New York and There Will Be Blood, are like on the top of the list.
Yeah, There Will Be Blood too, and you see There Will Be Blood, and just the whole time you're cringing. I think there's a secret in that movie. There's a moment where he says a secret to another character in the movie that you never know what he says.
Yeah.
You see that and you're like, oh my God, of course you would do that. Like, of course you would not let us know ever what you're saying in that moment. But that's him. I mean, he just lives it so fully. And for me, in Gangs of New York, he's just such an embodiment of that butcher. And
absolutely.
And you see him and you're like, oh God, I hate you, but I love you so much.
So he's a guy who plays very, very difficult roles. He's the kind of a guy who gravitates almost, it seems like, he gravitates towards the most complex roles. What's the most difficult or complex or hardest, however you want to describe it, role that you've played in the past?
Oh, definitely Leo. Leo was my biggest challenge. When I read the script for the first time, and I got to sit down with Doug Soesby, the writer. It was amazing because it was such a beautifully written script, but Leo scared me so much because I think it's very easy to portray a stereotype when it comes to a hustler, to portray someone who, you know, manipulates people, or someone who is kind of, you know, this badass on the street. But when I read Leo, there's this layer of sadness and innocence that almost reminds me, you know, of a stray dog on the street that you see, like, under the rain. He's all wet and he's cold and everything, and you know that's the world he lives in, but you don't think that's the world he belongs to.
Right.
So there's this beautiful dichotomy between danger and innocence that I just didn't know how I was going to show, how I was going to portray. And and also just the physical challenge, you know, losing all the weight, the challenge of really trying to showcase who this kid was in the most truthful light, all that scared me beyond belief. But I think that's one of the great things about challenges is that they always do scare you at first.
Right.
And you can either walk away from them or jump towards them and see what happens. And I was always raised by my parents to, you know, jump towards them because they're opportunities. If you fall, you fall. But if somehow you manage to pull it off, it's going to be one of the most amazing experiences. So leaving,
right.
you know, go down in my books at the moment as the most difficult thing that I've taken on.
Okay. Well, you've done, like, kind of lighthearted comedy with Struck by Lightning. You've done, like, a really intelligent drama with Boulevard. Where do you see yourself going next? I mean, do you, with the huge boom in superhero movies both and Warner Brothers and Marvel, do you see yourself segueing over into that arena at all?
Yeah, I think that'd be so cool. I mean, I'm a nerd at heart. I really, God, when it comes to anything that has to do with superheroes or specifically fantasy, I'm a huge fantasy buff. I don't know if you know fantasy book series, but there's one called The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan. And it's,
oh, yeah, Robert Jordan, very popular.
Yeah, oh, my God. And it's like, you know, it takes you years to read all of the books. But it's I love that. So anything that would have magic or dragons or that, I'm a buff for. But in terms of my career, I want to keep doing things that are different. You know,
right.
I want to keep doing comedies. I want to do dramas. I want to do sci-fi. I want to do fantasy. I want to work with green screen. I want to work with things that, you know, in projects that are really minimal. I'd love to do TV. I think TV has awesome content right now.
What's a TV show? Throw one out there that you would you really enjoy and you would see yourself, like, doing a cameo maybe on.
That's out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. I mean, I would have loved to have gone on Breaking Bad. I think that would have been so much fun.
Do you think you could talk to Bob and maybe find yourself a place on Better Call Saul?
Maybe, you know. Better Call Saul.
If anything, it's like a one-time client or something.
Oh, God, it'd be amazing. Who knows? I'll keep that in mind. Next time I see Bob, I'll be like, hey, Bob, you know, oh, a nice show you got going on. Awesome roles there. That, you know, like, oh, God, unemployment right now. It's a beautiful thing. But I'm sure I could talk to Bob. But yeah, something like that. Something that just has great writing. House of Cards. Oh, that would be a lot of fun.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of shows right now that are out there, and it's so great because, you know, I think for actors to have so much content at our disposal, you know, in acting, in film, in TV, in theater, there's so many great, great, great projects right now to be a part of.
Right.
That it's an exciting time. And superhero movies, you know, superhero movies are great, I think, because it's just, it's escapism. It's you going to a movie and suspending reality for 2 seconds and just taking a journey. And when they're done well, God, they're so much fun.
What is one superhero property you would want to be in? If you could be in any superhero movie, what would it be?
Of all time or the ones that are coming out right now?
Of all time.
Oh, God. I'll answer that question, but you're going to have to tell me your top three movies of all time just to show you how hard this question
is
going to be.
It is very difficult. Yeah, it is very difficult.
I think... I mean, the one that comes to mind of, like, just... Well, actually, no, two. I would have loved to have been part of what Iron Man did for superhero movies.
Okay.
I think when Robert Downey Jr. brought, you know, Tony Stark to life, it was the first time that you got this sense of a superhero as a cocky guy that just doesn't care, but he kind of does. And he, oh, my God... The way that he talks to people and the way that he is, it's fantastic.
It is, yeah.
I would have loved to have been part of that. Or right now, Guardians of the Galaxy. God, Chris Pratt, what a way to, like, to bring the unlikely superhero or unwilling superhero back into it and make it funny and cool. I think, you know, being able to show that a superhero movie can be so funny is awesome. And
well, let's put it out there, because Guardians of the Galaxy has a lot of characters that are, you know, potentially going to make their way to the big screen. So
yeah.
Let's put that out there. Maybe you'll be on the Guardians too. And I'll give you a call back and you can tell me about how amazing
my God.
That was.
Yeah, just put it out there.
Let's put it out there and make it happen.
I know, hopefully. Wow, can you imagine the next interview? You'd be like, hey, I told you so. I'd be like, God, where... Can I send you a bottle of tequila somewhere, please?
At the next interview, then we pick the next movie that you're going to be in, and hopefully that'll
exactly,
keep it going.
Yeah. And then at the end of my career, Hal Puya predicted every single one of Roberto's movies. Thank you.
Yeah, it's all a real-life Back to the Future scenario. That's all it is.
Yeah, exactly, right? there you go. Now we start seeing the movies you're a fan of.
Exactly. The nerdism comes out.
Yeah.
So as a guy who's really kind of exploded onto the scene in the past 5 years, and you've gotten to do a lot of diverse projects and work with a lot of awesome people, what is some words of advice you would give to other aspiring actors out there?
I think the most important thing is if you love it with everything that you are, if there's nothing that you would rather do in life, then don't let anybody tell you you can't do it. I think that's the saddest thing about going into acting, is there's so many people that are willing to discourage you and so many people that want to discourage you.
Right.
I don't know how many times I've been told no in my life, way too many to count. And I'm a dime a dozen in actors, because when you go into it, everybody tells you no. Everybody says no. I mean, that's the easiest answer. And one of the coolest things that I've heard is, how do you turn that no into a yes? Or after 100 no's, the next one is most likely going to be a yes. All these things about, you know, a loser is actually just a winner that didn't try one more time.
Right.
Like all these things that just show you that you should keep going and not get discouraged, especially since there's so much discouragement out there.
Yeah, I liked what you said earlier. You're of the never give up mentality.
Yeah, but it's true. I mean, that's what you need, and in a lot of things in life, I think, not just in acting, but you know, when you want something, whatever it is, you can't give up on it. You can't. But the moment you say, you know what, it's over, is the moment it's over. What's that beautiful Confucius saying? The man who thinks he can and the man who thinks he can't are both right.
Nice.
It's like, you know, it's true. So,
yeah. So you seem like a very, like, person who's very into acting. You seem to be very intelligent and cerebral about it, which is awesome to hear. You know, a lot of...
Thank you.
You know, you talk to different kinds of actors and different people, but I could tell you have a very... very detailed approach to what you do. But if you weren't an actor and you weren't passionate about acting, what is something else that you would be equally or maybe almost as passionate about? Another profession.
Wow, what a... I love these questions. God, I'm going to ask you your three favorite movies so you can be put on the spot just like you.
No problem, I'll do it.
I love medicine. I love being able to have an understanding of the human body that's so in-depth that any situation you're confronted with, you'd be able to help someone. I think that's why I'm doing the thing with the Red Cross here in Mexico right now, just because I think we lose sight of how fragile we are. And
right.
We almost... put it to the side of our minds that at any moment we could, you know, something could happen to us. And there's this whole sector, this whole section of society that's only there to help us in that moment, you know, when we're not, when we find out that we're not actually made of rubber and we can break. So
right.
I would have loved to have been part of that, maybe neuroscience or emergency medicine, something like that that could potentially help a lot of people.
Right. All right. Well, I don't want to keep you forever. I know you got stuff to do, and I know you're busy. But let me ask you one more question.
Before my last question, what are your favorite movies?
My three favorite movies. Okay. Of course, that is a tough question. But since you kind of you told me about this earlier, I kind of thought about it while we were talking.
Your mind. Perfect.
So I'd have to say it's tough because, you know, it changes. You see new movies and you want to bring in new movies into the fold. But I would say staple-wise, my top favorite film is Blazing Saddles. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Great movie.
Mel Brooks. I'm a Mel Brooks guy, like, through and through. I think that's, like, one of his pinnacle films. It takes, you know, social satire and society and all that good stuff, but puts a silver lining in there, and there's a nice message at the end of the movie and all that good stuff. So I think that's one of my top three. Number two, I tend to go back to old movies when I pick them. Number two would probably be It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
No, I don't know it. That's so exciting.
It's an older film. It has, like, Sid Caesar in it. Jerry Lewis is in it briefly. Spencer Tracy is in it. So this is, like, old school. But it's a hilarious movie that's kind of like, remember the movie Rat Race that came out with Seth Green
yeah.
and Cuba Gooding? It's that movie except done back, I want to say, maybe 50s, 60s time frame.
Oh, how cool. I have to watch it. Sid Caesar is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. So you'll love this because Sid Caesar is one of the main characters in the movie.
Then
number three, I got to throw in my artsy film critic side and say a film that I recently saw called Diplomacy. It was actually an international film, and it's in French and German, and it's actually a film about the German World War II general that is stationed in Paris who gets the order from Hitler to burn Paris to the ground and how he comes to the decision not to do it. And it's really just like one of those theatrical type movies where it's two guys that sit in one room pretty much an entire movie and they talk. It's all dialogue driven. And when a film of that nature can be good, you know, or captivating to me, that's one of those pinnacle type movies.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'll have to watch those too. That's very exciting. No, I love when people have favorite movies that I haven't watched. I get to enjoy that.
And then number four is Struck by Lightning. Pander, pander, pander. No.
Well done, well done. Ego goes through the roof. Well done.
So last question, and then I'll let you get back to your awesome and amazing, exciting life. What is a fun yet obscure fact about yourself that people might not be aware of? I mean, I think it's out there that you know Emma Watson pretty well, and I'm sure thousands of people have asked you that, so I'm not going to ask you that one, and I'll let you tell me something new and obscure.
Fun and obscure fact about me. I'm trying to think a fun and obscure fact.
I just love putting you on the spot, man.
Trying to think of which one I can tell you. I don't know. That's tough. I think maybe it would have to be that I love anime.
Anime, okay.
Totally random one. Yeah, I love Japanese anime. I think it's a form of storytelling that's so unique and really, really cool. And when I was younger, obviously I saw, you know, the whole Dragon Ball Z thing and Gundam.
Oh, my gosh. You're speaking my language, man.
No way, really? Yeah, so, I mean, that passion never went away. I still love anime, and I think there's so many great animes that come out, both, you know, series and movies.
Right.
The Spirited Away is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, wow. Spirited Away, very good film.
Yeah,
very good director.
And compare that to, you know, some of the series that are out right now, like, I don't know if you know Naruto,
mm-hmm.
but it's this anime that's been going on for forever. I think it's been on for 10 years, and it's a beautiful, beautiful story. So well crafted, you know, things that they brought about at the beginning of the series are coming full circle right now towards the end. So that would probably be an obscure fact that no one knows about me.
That's awesome. Well, hopefully, I don't know if you know this, but they're starting to they're continuing the Dragon Ball series.
I know. Oh, believe you me that I know.
In the form of movies. And that would be awesome if you could get a voice acting gig on one of those.
God, please, you're speaking my language. What is this? You woke up on the right side of the bed today. That's fantastic. I'd love a voiceover role in that.
Hey, I believe we put it out there. It's going to happen for you. You just got to verbalize it, right?
Yeah, no, you're right. My mom has this picture of me winning an Oscar that she photoshopped. And she's like, I had to make this because, you know, it's going to happen. But we need to put it out there first.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Roberto, it's truly been a pleasure chatting with you. Like I said, I don't want to keep you forever. I would stay on the phone probably for another 30 minutes because you're great at conversation. You have a lot to say, and it's been really interesting picking your brain, and I appreciate you letting me.
No, of course, and thank you. I really appreciate the questions because, you know, sometimes you get very very standard questions, but you threw some awesome ones at me, and no, you're awesome to talk to, too, so thank you so much, Puya.
Oh, thank you, and I hope we get to do this again, and I look forward to seeing all your projects upcoming. You're definitely a guy I'm going to keep my eye on the next few years.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, no, I can't wait to see what it brings. Hopefully, a voiceover and superhero movies.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, Puya, thanks so much. Have a good day.
Thanks so much. You too, Roberto.
Cool. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.